Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. A huge weekend of college football upcoming. And Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, that is going to be a scene in Lincoln, Nebraska, as Nebraska is trying to get a huge victory. They'll be going up against Michigan, who's ranked 21st in the country. And now joining us is a third-year head football coach at Nebraska. He is now a very successful podcaster as well with House Rules. And that is a friend of the program in Matt Rule. Coach, great to have you on. Appreciate the time. How you been?
That's great. It's great to see you.
Well, I got to ask you. So I'm watching your game in the sports book as you guys had a blowout victory. And then I see you standing right next to Bud Crawford in Vegas like hours later after he got that victory. I know how important he is to your program and the state. But take us through after the game Saturday, getting to Vegas and then watching the Crawford-Cadello fight.
Yeah. Bud Crawford is the ultimate Husker. You know what I mean? He's loyal to the state, loyal to Omaha, and loyal to the Huskers. And so we wanted to be there for him. So the hardest part, bro, was like getting dressed. got done with the media, ran upstairs, trying to put on a sport coat. You know, Julie's like, no, not that one. No. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm scrambling. But we ran to, you know, we have a Husker jet. Got there. Julie and I met Troy Dan and our elite AD and his wife Amy, and four of us went out there and watched Bud do what many thought was unthinkable, but we knew it was inevitable, and really, really happy for him.
Yeah, it's funny, being in Vegas the whole week, everyone was like, Canelo's going to win. And I just said to myself, I keep on hearing Canelo's going to win, and I don't really know much about it. I'm just going to take Crawford because everyone's telling me Canelo's going to win, and these are two of the all-time greats going up against it. What can your football team, I know how much pride they had in what he was able to do, but what can your football team learn from a moment like that, even though it's not a football game being played? It was a legendary boxing match.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is before the fight, I talked a lot about the fact that he wasn't doing it for money. He wasn't doing it because he had to. In many ways, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Fame fighter. And you know, he's pound for pound king. Yet he was going up and wait because he wanted the challenge. He wanted to see if he could be the first guy to be unified champion in three different weight divisions. And so I think that's a pretty cool thing. In a world where, like, we spend a lot of time talking about what people did wrong, or, you know, if he lost that, you know, all of a sudden, is, you know, people come after his legacy. He didn't care. I mean, he wanted to do something that no one else did. And so I talked a lot about taking on challenges. And then after the fight, the next day, on Sunday, you know, I got back in a team meeting. I showed the weigh-in. I showed the press conference. And he wasn't talking about if I do this. He talked a lot about when I do this and when I win this fight. And it was cool about Bud. At the end, you know, you saw him bring back Canelo's belts. You saw him, you know, playing with his daughter. He has so much respect for him. You know how much Canelo respect for them. But only one guy can win, and it was the right guy for us.
Matt Rule here with us. I love the speech that you gave to your team at halftime of the Akron game. I have to ask, what was the speech like at halftime during Houston Christian? Did you have that same energy at halftime, or did you kind of tone it down last week?
No, you know how it is. If you have the same energy all the time, they just kind of, you know, guys, you just shut it off, right? I think every game, every moment's different, right? I mean, you can be getting blown out and be calm. You can be getting blown out and lose it. I mean, you just don't want to be animated. You don't want to be inauthentic. You want to talk about how you feel. I felt that way at Akron. And but then it was out there and people saw it. You know, a lot of people said to me, like, I didn't know you had that in you. I said, go call Zach Gill. He'll tell you what I was like at Temple. I mean, that's how we built Temple, was with those types of days. But you know, we came in at halftime, and I very simply said, you know, because we played really well against Houston Christian, and right before the half, they moved the ball again, and then we were in 2 minutes, and we didn't go down and score. And I knew I was going to take the starters out. You know, Big Ten was starting this week. We were up, you know, 38-0. And I just simply said, hey, was that good enough at the end? And the guys were all like, no. And so I walked back in, let the coaches talk. And then when I brought them all up, I said, man, don't ever lose what you guys have right now. When you have unbelievably high standards and you're not sensitive, when you yourself can say, hey, I know I'm doing what everyone thinks is right, but it's just not enough. I want to do more. That kind of culture, and I, you know, the word culture is hard to say sometimes, but that kind of culture, but more importantly, that kind of mindset, that's what makes the great ones great. That's what makes Crawford Crawford. That's what makes hopefully our football team a special place. And so I challenged them to keep that going in the second half. You know, they did score a touchdown, which we were disappointed in, but you know, our guys showed up in the second half. I was proud.
Being to a game at Lincoln, your fan base deserves a winner again. Last year, I understand, so important to get back to a bowl game and get that victory. I still looked at the Colorado game as an enormous performance for you early last year. It was to show the growth from 1 year to the next, and you guys came out of the gate swinging. We talk about if, we talk about when. Why will this group, when you guys play Michigan Saturday afternoon, why will you guys be ready right out of the gate to try to go on out there and get a victory?
Well, this is why you came to the University of Nebraska, right? You know, you didn't come here to score 69 points against Akron. You didn't come here to play Houston Christian. You came here to play ranked teams at home. You came here to play the Big Ten slate. The last two national championships have come from this conference. And so we're proud to be a Big Ten member. And so this is why you came. We came to play. You know, when we came here a couple of years ago, obviously the program was down. We said, hey, we want to bring excitement back here. We want people to talk 20 years from now about the moments that they had in Memorial Stadium. I want a student section that loves their team and loves the experience. And so you're right. Colorado last year was an epic moment. I think in some ways I did a poor job. You know, we didn't move on quickly enough from that. And, you know, played poorly the next week against UNI, and then we lost to Illinois 2 weeks later. So we don't want to put too much into any one game. You know, we want to come out every single week, and we want to be the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And you know what that means, and I know what that's supposed to mean. We're going to celebrate the 95 team. Like we know what that's supposed to mean. I mean, we know what they meant. And so we're supposed to play football on a high level. Great teams coming in. You know, this is why you came to Nebraska. I'm excited for it.
I love your quarterback in Dylan Raiola. You know, he had some ups and downs last year, but I thought it was a very successful freshman season. How have you seen him grown from year one to now the early stages of year two?
Yeah, I mean, he's first or second in completion percentage. You know, he's protected the football. You know, we're a pro style offense. We get under center, we get in the gun, we throw a drop back, we throw play action. I mean, he's unbelievably accurate. You know, in the mid range, he's not just, you know, throwing the ball over people's heads and checking the ball down. I mean, he's attacking every part of the field. And what I love, Zach, is, you know, the ball's going to everybody. You know, it's not like, hey, we have one guy with way more catches. You know, the first game, I think we completed the ball to 10 different guys against Cincinnati. I think it was five guys had five catches. Week two, I think 14 guys had a catch. Now, TJ Latif, our sensational freshman quarterback, came in and played well as well. But Dylan's doing a great job to me of taking what the defense gives him, getting the ball where it needs to be, getting in the right checks. You know, he's playing pro football at the college level in terms of the things we're asking him to do. To credit to Daniel Holverson, our coordinator, he's done a fantastic job, and I think Dylan's really clicking with them.
You know, there was so much hype going into year one last year with Dylan Raiola. And then going into this year, there was a point at the summer where I said, now I feel like Dylan Raiola is underrated and people aren't talking about him enough. Not just the national perspective of it. Do you feel like your quarterback at times this offseason was a little bit disrespected?
I don't know, disrespected. I just think he's been, you know, I don't think people have appreciated enough the level of football that he's playing at. And, you know, we lost, you know, we were 5-1, we lost four games, but we weren't losing because of him. You know what I mean? We weren't losing because of anyone. We just were that kind of a football team last year. And Dylan came here, along with Ja'Cory Barney, along with Vincent Shavers, along with all these great young players that we have, to help us build something. They didn't come to just join an already built roster. You know, that's what a lot of kids want to do now in recruiting. Well, I'm going to go to the best place and be amongst. They wanted to come build it. And so there's steps to it. So, yeah, I think, you know, people have just kind of, you know, maybe moved past that or ignored it, haven't seen it as much. But he's doing an unbelievable job. And what I'm excited about, and the thing that I've been saying, Zach, is, you know, early on last year, he made the wow plays, rolling left, throwing back right across his body. And those plays, you know, they get you on TV, they get you on SportsCenter, they get you on your show, they get you on Instagram. You know, you get a and that's fun, but that's not what Tom Brady plays like. You know, that's not what the best of the best play like all the time. They play like that when they have to, but they are going to be methodical killers as quarterbacks. And so I think what I love about what Dylan's doing now is he's playing quarterback at a really high level. And, you know, it's like anything else. Eventually people will see it. You know, we have an opportunity this Saturday to play on national TV. And instead of worrying about what everyone else thinks, we just got to go play well. And eventually everyone will know what we know.
And on the other side, Michigan, right? Bryce Underwood, a lot of expectations with him. You guys were in that spot last year when you get a player like that to come to your university. When you've been watching him on tape, what stands out to you so far from Bryce Underwood?
Well, in the first two games, really a commitment to being a pocket passer, being a pro-style quarterback, big arm, accurate, smart. I mean, you just see the total package. Last game, you know, added the element of running with the football, was their leading rusher. If things broke down, if they played man, if he saw a lane, he took off. And, you know, I think that's an added dimension that we now have to deal with. You know, we were preparing for that pro-style pocket quarterback, and now, oh, wow, he's got this other element. We knew he had it, but now they're utilizing it too. So you have to defend him, both his, you know, his arm and his legs. And so credit to them for playing a freshman. You know, we did it last year. As you know, I did it at Temple and I did it at Baylor. And, you know, that first year, everyone's kind of like, you know, there could be some ups, there could be some downs, at least for us. I'm not saying that for Michigan, but for us. But the experience is invaluable. And, you know, the guys, they grow. You just have to make sure that, you know, they stay with it mentally. They don't get too beaten up as they go through the process physically or mentally. And Dilly came through it last year. I'm proud of where he is. And their young man is doing a wonderful job.
Getting back to your team, Coach Matt Rhule here with us for a few more minutes. You got a big game this weekend, Michigan going up against Nebraska, going to be some scene in Lincoln. I know Dana Holgorsen really put his fingerprints on this program towards the end of last season. You had a defensive coordinating position. I like Tony White, but John Butler was on your staff, takes over. Coach White now with Florida State, having two coordinators be new to start the season, you know, from start to finish, that's obviously the goal. Just where's the comfortability level right now with the offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator? Because it's looking pretty promising so far.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the results, the outcomes come. I love the way the guys do things. I love their work ethic. I love their process. To give you an idea of who Daniel Holgorsen is, you know, the previous coordinator, Marcus Satterfield, a great football coach, stayed on the staff. And Dana could have said, no, I don't want this guy. I want this guy. You know, he brought in one guy with him. That was it. I mean, he worked with our staff at the end of the last year, and he said to me, these guys are really good football coaches. He's so confident. He's so great to work with it. We kept Glenn Thomas as the quarterback coach because he's an elite quarterback coach. We kept Donnie Riddle. We kept Sat. We kept E.J. Barfield. We kept all these guys because he's bought into that concept. So I love working with Dana. He's done so much for me as a head coach, you know, because I have someone else I can go to and say like, hey, what about traveling to the West Coast? Am I going to the East Coast? What about night game? And then John Butler's just an absolutely brilliant guy. He's been a coordinator before at Penn State, 10 years in the NFL at a really, really high level. Was with us for a year, had a chance to see him in the bowl game, and I loved the way he did things. And so I'm almost sometimes a little bored, you know, like they don't need me. You know, I'm in my office planning schedules and kind of like, does anybody want to talk to me? But, you know, I think the thing I've learned in my life is surround yourself with great, great, great people, and really our entire staff is, but certainly those two coordinators are.
Sometimes the transfer portal, you'll get a star. Other times you get burned by the transfer portal. It's just the game that we live in right now. Like, look at Florida State the last two seasons. Some years it works, some years it doesn't. Dane Key, though, man, this guy seems like a coach's dream with everything he's been doing so far for you guys.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that Dana brought in one person. He brought in Nikhil Shorts, a receiver coach, who had been his player. I mean, was a receiver coach for him in Houston. And he went to Kentucky, and he was with Dane. So when Dane went in the portal, I mean, he had everybody. He had SEC teams. He had Big Ten teams. Everyone wanted Dane Key. And credit to him, he came out here. He saw what we have here. We have the most amazing facilities in college football. He met with Dylan and saw, hey, this guy's for real. Met with Coach Holgorsen and saw the plan. And he has a great relationship with people. And I want guys to get paid. I want them to have revenue share. I want them to have NIL. But what I really want is I want guys who want to be great in the NFL. I want guys who want to win, who take their game to the next level. And so when Dane came here and he wanted to talk about strength and when he talked about nutrition, sports science, and all those things, I knew we had the right guy. And you know, we've had some players that left us last year. You know, the young man who caught the touchdown for A&M the other night, you know, he played for us the last 3 years. There's a walk-on here who moved himself up. So, you know, as you said, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away. But we love our roster. We love the guys that are here. And when guys are here and they leave us to go somewhere else, we root for them. We're proud of them. But getting Dane was big. Getting Isaiah Hunter as the other receiver on the outside, big. You put those guys in there with Ja'Cory Barney, a freshman slot from last year who's now a sophomore, and we have some guys who can go. And so it's been a lot of fun watching us become sort of an explosive passing game.
You know, I remember the tough times, two wins at Temple, one win at Baylor, and you guys have always stayed true to your process. At Temple, it worked. At Baylor, it worked. Now this is year number three. You guys had a good season last year. People now expect you to take that next step this year. Saturday's a huge task and a big test. Are you as confident as ever that this is going to work with Nebraska, with what you've seen the last years, and then also the start to year number three?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, I've always said it's not if, it's just when, you know. Football's different than it was the last couple of years. I've never said, hey, year three, we're definitely going to do this. You know, I mean, the portal, as I said, the portal's different. College football's different. So, and the Big Ten's evolving. You know, the old Big Ten West that, you know, Nebraska was in before that, you know, they couldn't win. But, you know, within it is a lot different than going to Oregon and going to Penn State and going to USC. I mean, it's a whole different animal. So it's not that I can sit here and make predictions, but this is a place that's supposed to win. It's got the best facilities. It's got the best fan base. We can recruit here. There was kind of this idea like, hey, you can't recruit here. We can recruit here. And as they've made a commitment to NIL for us, and now as revenue sharing's there, we've sold out, I think, 405. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. 405 straight games. Our fan base is going to show up. There were 17,000 people at the Nebraska Creighton volleyball game last night. This is a place that loves sports. You know, this is like being at Temple. And this is like the passion that I felt in Philly, just out here in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is a great place to live. And so, I just couldn't tell you. I believe so much in what we're doing right now, but what we're also about to do. We're recruiting some of the best players in the country, not the best recruits. I'm not looking for the best recruits, Zach. I want guys who want to come play football, not just get paid, not just be on the cover of Instagram and all that stuff. I love that stuff. You can do all that stuff, but I need guys like Dylan, like Ja'Cory, like Dane. I need guys who love football, and you find that here in Nebraska.
Two more just quick questions, and I'll let you run. Just from a coaching standpoint, I don't know if it makes a difference, right? And it's not to diminish anything about Sherrone Moore, but, you know, I saw Jim Harbaugh be suspended and Sherrone Moore take over. Michigan still won all those games. Coming up on Saturday, Biff Poggi's on the sideline, Sherrone Moore suspended. Does that change anything for you since it's not Sherrone on the sideline and then it's Biff standing there?
Well, you know, I feel like as a head coach, most of my work and building the team was done in the offseason, was done in fall camp. Certainly, I like to feel like I make a difference during the course of the week. Certainly, I feel like I make a difference at practice and all those things. But one of the things I tell our guys all the time is like, hey, guys, if I didn't show up today for practice, would you guys still have a great practice? And, you know, they would say, yeah. Like, making them understand that everyone's role is important, but no one can't be done without. Someone will always step in. And so I have a lot of respect for Sherrone Moore. You know, anytime you have an O-line coach as the head coach, I'm going to get fired up. And Biff came to Charlotte when I was in Carolina, just kind of as I was getting fired. And I guess I'd rather get fired times, you know, right around then. But he's someone that I've known and respect. And so he'll have those guys ready to play. Those guys, they'll love him and they'll love all their assistant coaches. So I think it'll just come down to the players on the field playing football at a really high level on both sides.
And then last thing, I know you were with Baker Mayfield briefly in Carolina. He was counted out, and what he's turned into now, he could be the seventh or eighth best quarterback in football, if not higher than that. A lot of people have been praising Baker this week. Just give me your reaction and your take on what he's been able to do with Tampa Bay, because the last few years it's been really special.
I love Baker Mayfield. I love Baker Mayfield. He's a winner. He's tough. I wish I could have done a better job for him during my time in Carolina. I wish I could have put him in a, you know, better position there as the head coach. You know, but even what he did in Carolina, you know, you know, we wanted to trade for him at the draft. We weren't able to do it. We didn't sign him until, like, I think he wasn't in OTAs. He wasn't in mandatory minicamp. You know how hard that is to do in modern college and modern pro football? He showed up the first day of training camp. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. But to his credit, like, you know, we got down that first game against Cleveland, and he brought us all the way back. I remember him running for a touchdown and throwing the ball against the back line, how much he wanted to beat Cleveland. And, you know, they came down, and Jacoby Brissett, he, He spiked the ball and they called whatever legal floor pass, because he kind of looked like pump fake. Did they overturned that guy and it's a 59-yard field goal? Things didn't go our way, but I'll never minimize the toughness, the competitiveness, the mindset of Baker Mayfield. And I remember when I get fired, like you're on the news cycle. You still got to eat. You still got to go out. Get your kids to school. And my wife is in a sandwich shop trying to get something. Baker walks in, sees Julie, walks up, gives her a. I mean, he's just an elite human. But he's a competitor. He's a lot. I think about Bud Crawford. Bud will say, "I've been an underdog my whole life. This guy walked on, and now he's at a place. He went to the Rams that year and he won the first game at the Rams. I mean, this guy's just a winner, dude. And so, like I said, I wish I could have done better for him, but I call him a friend. I respect the heck out of him. And he's down there in a place that fits him, and he's doing a great job. I love when he slid the other day and kind of limped, and all of a sudden the guy started, Chauncey started talking trash to him. He's right up in his face. And I love what he said about, finding the things that matter to him and his life, his marriage, his family, his faith, becoming grounded in those things. I'm really happy and proud of him.
Is the champ going to be in the building, by the way, on Saturday? You guys going to have Bud Crawford there?
You know what? I felt bad after the fight when I saw him. I was like, bro, I need you next week. I need you next week. And I'm like, dang, he just made history. He's got me asking like a typical football
coach.
What
a world.
But, he's got an open invite here. I mean, he's not like, he's a Husker fan. Like, I went to his send-off. And all we did was talk about the Cincinnati game the night before, which was, he was like, man, that was a little too close for me, coach. I was like, me too. So I whether he's here this weekend or not, I know he's a lot of people, a lot of opportunities, probably people pulling at him. But there's no one that loves him more than the Huskers, and our fans will go nuts if he is. And if not, whenever he's ready. Terrence, whenever you're ready, man, we got an open door for you.
Coach, good luck this upcoming weekend. Really appreciate the time today. I know I got a trip coming up, I think, at the end of October. So I'm going to go get myself a Runza, see some Nebraska football. And I need a reservation at Casa Bovina, by the way, again.
I got you. Casa Bovina, they call this the good life for a reason. I got you. There's no place like Nebraska.
You got it. There he is. Matt Rhule, the head football coach at Nebraska, joining us right there on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back when we do return. Want to get to Texas and their AP poll ranking. Got a few things to say about that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.